It is good to see everyone on this September the 13th, 2020. And we just praise God for everybody that's here, everybody that's listening on the website, to all our folks that are still having to quarantine at home. We miss you and we love you. And our prayers go out again to many, many folks that are part of our fellowship that for health reasons cannot be with us. And our prayers are with all of you. The title of today's message is Never a Man Prayed Like This. We're continuing our study on prayer. We're going to start out today in Luke chapter 11. I want to remind again, as I did last week, there's going to be a National Day of Prayer and Repentance on September 25th at the National Mall in Washington. You can live stream it by going to thereturn.org, thereturn.org. Jonathan Kahn has organized it, and it is going to be just an awesome, awesome time of prayer and worship, and they'll have a Friday night service on the 25th. You can live stream that also, and we are studying prayer during this time. Our nation needs to pray, our churches need to pray, and we as individuals need us to pray. So we've been looking at the prayer life of Jesus, his example. He would get alone, he'd go to that solitary place sometime in the morning, sometime at evening, sometime he prayed all night. He taught us about the prayer closet. Then we went back to Genesis 4 and looked at the phrase, when men began to call upon the name of the Lord. When we looked at Seth and Enos and the generation of Enos. And then last week we looked at a very, very important message where Jesus told us how not to pray. Don't repeat vain repetitions. Don't flatter me with your lips when your heart's far from me. And so if you missed any of these messages, please go pick them up. And so here we go. Luke chapter 11 verse 1. It came to pass that as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he finished, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. And in verse 2, Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I come now, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin and weekly sin that I confess to you out loud in that office and in my prayer closet, just me and you. But I pray this now, Lord, so that folks will know that I sin just like they do. And that when I'm in this pulpit, I need you more than when I need to breathe. And that my dependence is on you. And so, Father, as I come today, I ask for the anointing and filling of your Spirit to be used of you today. Humble me, Lord. Let me wash the feet of these that are listening as a servant. And Father, I pray you open up our hearts to receive what you have for us today. Lord Jesus, we pray this together. Heavenly Father, what do I need to hear from you today? Father, we thank you for every family that's here and all the blessings that you overwhelm us with every day. Father, we thank you and we praise you in your name. Amen. Luke 11 verse 1, it said it came to pass that as Jesus was praying in a certain place, maybe a solitary place, maybe he had gotten away from the crowd, one of his disciples evidently saw him and heard him, and when he finished, he said to him, Lord, teach us how to pray. Now, get this picture, and I missed this 4 weeks ago when I started this. Evidently, what has happened, Jesus is off praying, and one of the disciples sees him, and if you're going to tell somebody or ask somebody, hey, Lord, teach me how to pray, Lehman, he must have been listening to the Lord pray, and he came to the conclusion, you know what? I don't think I know how to pray. You know, I've been praying all these years, and man, now I heard Jesus pray, and oh my goodness, you know something? I don't think I know how to pray. Lord, you got to teach me how to pray. And so here we are 2,000 years later, and we get all the benefit of how the Lord prayed. We know how he prayed. It's recorded how he prayed in Gethsemane. We're going to this awesome verse in Hebrews in a moment, which is a commentary on Gethsemane, this verse is. And he's saying, man, you know something? I don't know how to pray. So, Lord, you need to teach me how to pray. And maybe throughout his life, all he had heard were the Pharisees pray. Yes. So if you heard last week's message, you don't want to be praying like the Pharisees. So all he had heard was formal prayers, repetitious prayers, cold prayers, and lifeless prayers. But somehow, someway, Jesus had so impressed him that he said, Lord, man, teach me how to pray. And, you know, I was thinking back. I went all the way back in my mind to Walterboro, South Carolina, where Patty and I lived 37 years ago, where I first got called to preach. And I went to a little country church after being in a more formal suburban church in Charleston. And man, I started hearing people praying, and I felt the same way. I mean, there are certain folks you've seen or heard in your life, and you say, man, Judy, you say that person grabs the hem of the garment of Jesus when they're praying. And you know, I praise God for those kind of people that have touched my life and influenced my life. And the one thing that stands out in all those prayers has been the honesty and the sincerity and the humility that characterizes for me when I've heard other people pray. And I've got a feeling that is what struck the disciple. So go with me to our focal verse today, Hebrews chapter 5. And I just want to grab one verse that most commentators believe applies to when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Some say it may also deal with the way he prayed when he was on the cross. Now, understand, there were prayers that were lifted up when Jesus was on the cross. You know, and the intensity and the emotion of Gethsemane and the cross, you know, those are the apex of any prayers that have ever been prayed on the face of the earth. So we can glean from these prayers of Jesus. You know, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He prayed that on the cross. You know, Jesus prayed, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? On the cross. And then on the cross, we heard the Lord pray, into thy hands I commend my spirit. So you see those verticals, but then you saw horizontal statements on the cross. You know, Jesus said, I thirst. Jesus said to John, son, behold your mother. Jesus said to the thief, this day you'll be with me in paradise. And then Jesus said, for all of heaven and earth, it is finished. You know, redemption is here. So you've got those seven. I think I said all seven sayings. This isn't in my notes. So Holy Spirit, you got to carry me. But anyway, but the bottom line is, you know, there were three in my mind right now, solid prayers that the Lord lifted up on the cross. Most commentators believe that this verse is speaking about how he prayed in Gethsemane. All right, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 and 8 says this. Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him, unto God the Father, that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. You're going to see that that word means godly fear, reverence, submission, and obedience. It's not phobia. It's not like you're afraid of a rattlesnake. Let me go ahead and give it to you. It's Eula, E-U-L-A, Bia, B-E-I-A. And in the Greek, it means reverence, submission, godly respect. It means reverence, submission, and godly respect. It's not phobia, like he feared. And then it says in verse 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So look at what we're getting in verse 7. In the days of his flesh, he offered up his supplications with strong crying and tears and pleading unto the one who could save him from death. In tears and in emotion, he's crying out to God in Gethsemane. And what he's saying is, Lord, if you can take this cup from me, please take this cup from me. That there's only two requests, there's only two statements we get out of the garden. And the first one is, Lord, if you can take this cup from me, please take it from me. So it's describing his emotions, his pleas, his supplications, the intensity. The Bible actually says in the Gospels that he sweat blood. But what I want you to understand, when Jesus was driven into Gethsemane, look at what it says, who in the days of his flesh, he is setting an example in his humanity for us. Amen. Anytime you see in the days of his flesh, it's talking about in his humanity. So in the days of our flesh, talks about our humanity. So what is it that drove him into Gethsemane? The cup. Lord, if this cup can pass from me. And what is the cup? The cup is the burden that the Lord felt that he was carrying, where he was going to die for the sins and the judgment and the wrath of God for all of humanity. So what I want you to understand, the driving force in the prayer closet is whatever is burdening you. So we're going to look at two things today. We're going to look at how we go in and how we come out based on the example Jesus set us. So the bottom line is, your burdens drive you into the prayer closet. And so we look, there's never been a greater burden ever borne by any human being on the face of the earth than what Jesus Christ took into Gethsemane. I want you to grab that. He took upon himself the judgment of a holy God for all of my sins, all of your sins, and all the sins of humanity. He was going to experience during 3 hours of darkness a brokenness in his relationship with God the Father, where all the wrath for the sin of the world is being poured out on Jesus the Son. So what I want you to understand, we can't comprehend it, we can't even imagine it, but one thing I want you to understand is there is no greater burden infinitely carried by any human being that can be compared to what Jesus Christ took into the prayer closet in Gethsemane. Amen. So whatever burdens you comes below that. Amen. So carry it in there. I want you to understand, you may feel overwhelmed. You may feel like one thing's happening here and one thing's there and everything's stacking up. Well, my friend, I praise God for the example of Gethsemane. Jesus took his burden into the prayer closet, and he's telling you to bring his burden into the prayer closet. In his humanity, he is setting an example for us. And we'll go there in a moment, but Jesus is crying out, Father, oh Father, in tears and in pleadings, and blood is coming from his forehead, and he is bowed down and he is sweating, and he's saying, if there's any way man can be saved without me going through the cross and all that I know I'm going to have to endure in the spiritual darkness of the eons, please, Lord, let this cup pass from me. So what is he doing? He is pouring out his heart to God. So that disciple said, you know, I don't know how to pray. Lord, teach me how to pray. So I'm going to give you the first step in learning how to pray. All you got to do is pour your heart out to God. You go in the closet and you pour your heart out to God. You share with the Lord whatever it is on your heart. I have to go in the closet right now, Mona, and I have to tell the Lord, I have no idea how this thing's going to go with Dad. You know, I have no idea. I'm 12 hours away and it's a disaster. The only thing he knows is he ain't leaving. You know, the only thing I know is we've got a ministry and a life, and this is our home in Wayne County, Tennessee. But God has already got an angel there named Vicky who went over there this morning, checks on him every day. And you know, so right now, you know, all I can do is go one day at a time. And a lot of times, you know, that's my problem. I'm carrying burdens 6 months from now, and I can't go 6 months from now. But I'll tell you one thing, I can handle the day if I'll give it over to Jesus. And so we take our burdens. And so my burdens are, Lord, I don't know. I don't have any answers, Lord. I don't even know what questions to ask. But Lord, help me to just trust you with this. Help me to just trust you with this. And so there are a lot of times. So we see the son is pouring out his heart to his father. Now, go with me to Hebrews chapter 4. And we'll be coming back, but I want you to go to Hebrews 4. So every time you read Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, I want you to tie that back in to Hebrews verse 4, verse 15. And I've never done that. The Holy Spirit did that for me the other morning. I was in Charleston and I was working on this. And the Spirit said, oh, this is Hebrews 4, 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling and the heartbreak and the heartache of our trials and our infirmities and all the things that we go through, because he was in all points tried and tempted and experienced all the things that we go through, yet without sin. Man, I'm tying back that into when he was in Gethsemane. He had to pray. He had to plead. He was crying. There were tears. And he was calling out to the Father. And I want you to know, my friend, because of what he went through in Gethsemane, look at what the Bible tells me in verse 16 of chapter 4. Let Leo come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Man, I'm going to tell you something. You carrying burdens today? Go to the one who really knows how to carry a burden.
Amen.
And so that drives us into the prayer closet. And so we glean this, and all of this information is for our sake. So go with me to John chapter 11. You know, why was Gethsemane recorded in the Gospels? Why do we know what he said? Why is that so important? Why does the Hebrew writer write what he has written? You know, and I'll throw a little caveat out there. The Spirit threw on me. We've got pretty good details in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about what went on in Gethsemane. I mean, it may only be 6-7 verses, but we know he cried. We know blood poured out of his forehead. We know 3 times he went away and came back. And we know what he said. We know not all of what he said, but we know 2 statements that he made. Who heard him praying? Wanting the 3 guys sleeping. So who's the eyewitness? That's your homework. And hey, you don't have to even write an essay. Just one name. One name. And it's my theory. But, you know, because if they were sleeping, they sure didn't hear him say, if this cup can pass from me. But maybe, you know. But every time he went back, they were sleeping. All right, John chapter 11, Jesus is going to raise Lazarus from the grave. And in verse 41, it says this. It says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. That's Lazarus. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard my prayer. And I know that you hear me always. But because of all these people that are standing around, I just said what I said, that they may believe that you are my Father, that I'm the Son of God, and that you have sent me. So, what I want you to understand, Jesus is praying out loud, not for his own purpose there. He knows God's already heard him. He knows they've already had the conversation about raising Lazarus from the dead. But he is going to say it out loud so that the people around will know that Jesus prays to the Father and the Father answers his prayers. So he's doing all that for our sake. So I want you to understand this is a huge principle. When you see the life of Jesus, whether it's the prayer life of Jesus or the way he acted, but when you see recorded any prayer of the Lord, he could have prayed it silently. And he could have spoke to God because their hearts walked hand in hand, but he wanted us to know how he felt, what he was saying, and what was going on. So the first point that he makes is this in verse 42. I know that you hear me always in my humanity. In the days of his flesh, he knew God heard him. So number one, my friend, when you're going into a prayer closet, you got to believe and you got to know, hey, God hears my prayers. And I want you to understand, he does. And Cleo, he doesn't hear our prayers because we're good people. He doesn't hear our prayers because we never sin. Because none of that's true. God hears our prayers because God is the God who hears the prayers. And when we lift up a prayer, Revelation tells us it goes to the throne room of God. So if you've been having a bad day, a bad week, a bad month, a bad year, you still go in the prayer closet knowing that you're not just speaking to the air, you're speaking to God himself. And so that's got to be a focus. And I'm going to be honest with you. You can hear people pray in a church. And you can hear people pray in religious settings. And I don't even think they think God hears their prayers. And so it's just lip service, as Jesus said. So you want an intensity. When you're praying, there needs to be an intensity. You know, Miss Betty, if I'm talking to somebody, I'm going to speak loud enough and hard enough and look them in the eye so that they hear me. I'm trying to communicate with them. And that is the same way we are in the prayer closet. You know, we are communing with God. You know, I've gotten my notes written somewhere in this outline. You ever seen two people standing together and they're talking and you say, boy, so-and-so and so-and-so, they're having a deep conversation. Boy, you can tell they're having a deep conversation. Well, let me tell you something. Tomorrow morning, Judy, I can get up, I can have a deep conversation with Jesus himself. And that's the way you need to view it. You know, it's okay to say, Lord, I'm not leaving here. I got to get some answers. I got to get some peace. I got to get some guidance. And sometimes for me, it's simply, okay, Leo, you be still and trust me. And man, that's huge. That's huge. But there are a lot of times that's what I get. But I'll tell you, I'll take it. And it's wonderful. And it gives you peace. But at other times, he says, okay, you need to do, you and Patty need to get down there. Y'all need to take care of this, 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 and this. Because something coming that I can't see, but the Lord wants it already taken care of. So he's going to move you. He's going to steal you. But you've got to have the faith in the reality of your conversations with God. And so as the Lord's teaching us how to pray, we see the intensity. And so when you're going into a prayer closet with a burden, I just want you to hold on to this today. He has gone before us. He has gone before us into his prayer closet with quite a burden and quite a burdens. And we need to understand that. So for us to know and understand this relationship, John 11, verse 41, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you hear me, and that is why I am praying unto you. So Jesus wants us to know this aspect of his relationship while on earth between Jesus the Son and God the Father. So he wants us to know, and I'm going to jump ahead of myself, but I'll get into it. He wants us to know it's a relationship of Jesus and his humanity asking and receiving from God the Father. So this relationship exists. If he had never prayed out loud, we'd have never known that. So even Jesus, the perfect one, when he was on the face of the earth, he wanted us to know human beings need to pray. And we need to get along with God. And you know, I've had many folks over the last 36 years say, you know, Brother Leo, man, I've been out of church 6 months. I really need to get back in church. And oh, I've been out of church. I've never had many folks, I'm not going to say none, but I've never had many folks say, you know, Brother Leo, I sure hadn't been praying in the last 6 months. I really need to get back in the prayer closet. And I've really never had anybody say, hey, Brother Leo, you know, I've never even established a consistent prayer closet. And I want you to understand, your prayer closet is a million times more important than the church house.
Amen. Yes.
And you got to understand that. The church house without the prayer closet, you might as be at the Pizza Hut. And I'm serious about that. It all works together. Because we've got millions of people who have this mass comfort in their religion that it's safety in a crowd. We all go to church. We must be all right.
Yeah.
Well, you're not all. Going to church does not make you all right. Being saved makes you all right. But being saved without praying, you're not living in your victory. And you're not dropping that anchor every morning or every evening or whenever you come up with a time. So Jesus went through all this. Look at what it says in verse 41. It says, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, I know you hear me when I ask, but I'm asking so everybody else will know. He is showing that Lazarus came, that he raised the dead as a result of a prayer to God the Father. Now, Lehman, this ain't my notes. It's probably in next week's. But remember when he sent the disciples out? And they couldn't cast out the demons? And they came back? And they said, why can't we cast out the demons? And he said, you will only be able to cast out demons and do all these things if you have your prayer life and your fasting in order. You're never going to be able to live out the power and the life of Christ without the prayer life and the fasting in order. That's what he told them. But prayer came first. So you don't want to go forth next week. And you know, we saw it in Gethsemane. Jesus walks out of Gethsemane and wins the victory of the cross. Peter walks out of Gethsemane, cuts off a guy's ear when he shouldn't, and denies the Lord three times. Jesus was praying, Peter was sleeping. That's the end of that story. And a lot of times we live our lives as Peter, and we're drawing swords when we ought to be still because we're not prayed up. He had to get prayed up in Gethsemane in his humanity to win the victory on the cross. Leo Doyle's got to be prayed up to win whatever battles he's going to face in this life. But man, the old devil, he wants to distract you. He wants to distract you. So the Lord wanted us aware. Look at what it says. He said he lifted up his eyes. He said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I prayed this prayer. The asking and receiving from the Father to the Son. He wants us to be aware of this relationship he had with God the Father while he was on the face of the earth. Now, I want you to understand something. I'm certainly not anywhere close to what Jesus was, but me and you got that same relationship. The asking and the receiving. And let me show you. This goes all the way back to the Old Testament. Go to Psalm chapter 2. This relationship between the Father and the Son goes all the way back to the Old Testament. I mean, my friend, every one of you, if the Holy Spirit's in your heart, you can grab hold of Jesus. He wants you to grab hold. He invites you to come unto him. Now, this is a messianic psalm, which means it's a prophetic psalm concerning the life of Jesus Christ. This one specifically deals with his second coming, not the first coming, when he comes back to establish his kingdom on earth. the 1,000-year millennial rule, where the Lord will rule from Jerusalem. I pray for it every day. I ask him to come on, man. I have several verses I quote up there to him as I'm asking him to come back. But in Psalm chapter 2, you get a condition here, and it says this, verse 6, the Father speaking to the Son, prophetically. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. That's going to happen in Jerusalem. I will declare the decree, and it's from everlasting. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Okay? The Father and the Son. That's Jesus. We got Jesus the first coming and the second coming. This is about when he's coming back. And look at what he says. Verse 7, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. There is a time coming when Jesus is going to rule the world from Jerusalem. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is King of kings and Lord of lords, and we're going to come back with him. This is all throughout Revelation, Malachi, Zechariah, the prophecy of Daniel, and this thousand-year millennial rule is going to go on the face of the earth. But I want you to notice the condition that God has established for Jesus receiving the millennial kingdom. Verse 8, Son, ask of me, the Father I shall give you. I want you to understand, going all the way back to before the foundation of the world, this plan was established that Jesus in his humanity, all right, grab that. I know this is a deep message, but you folks can handle it. Jesus in his humanity while on earth was to ask of God the Father. And he did it during those 3.5 years recorded. Well, where's he coming back to, Cleo? He's coming back with a glorified physical body on earth for 1,000-year reign, and the Lord still says, ask of me and I will give. And Jesus says, I'm not ashamed to call you my brethren. In our humanity, we are to ask of God and he will give. So this condition, this parameter, is established in the relationship between the Son and the Father when he's on earth the first time and when he's on earth the second time. And even Jesus placed himself under this condition to ask and you will receive. So the God the Father says, Son, in that day you ask of me and I'll give you the heathen as your inheritance. And you will rule the world. So what does that show when I'm asking God? It shows submission, it shows humility, and it shows dependence. Jonathan, I cannot handle my life. I'm going to confess that to you right now. I cannot handle my life. And I praise Jesus, I don't have to. I can't handle the circumstances around me. And I praise Jesus, I don't have to. Not alone. And my heart breaks for people that run into trial and tribulation and serious crises in life, and they don't know they can grab hold of Jesus. Amen. They don't know they can call out to God. I got in bed the other night. I asked Patty. We got into Charleston Monday at 2 o'clock. We left Charleston Friday at 10:30 after I met with a contractor to get handrails put all over the outside. Oh, I didn't walk. Daddy, I done caught you 4 times this week falling backwards. Well, if you hadn't caught me, I wouldn't have lost my balance. Oh, I can hear. You know, my TV just has a volume. Daddy's TV actually goes from 1 to 100 on the volume. I'll be outside working on the property. I'll come back in. You know what that volume's on? 100. I cut the grass listening to Fox News all at one time. That's a loud TV when you can hear it over a lawnmower. And you know what he tells me? He goes, you know these women? I said, yeah. You know, on the news. I said, yeah. He goes, you know, they don't talk loud enough. I said, yeah, you know, I've always thought that, Dad. We got in bed Friday night here, and I said, Patty, did you get a shower in Charleston? She said, I took two. She goes, how many did you take? I said, I took one. Because, man, we smelled bad. But, you know, you just have to give things to God. You do what you can do. But what I want you to understand, humility, submission, dependence, and asking. And look what he says in verse 8. He says, this my son in verse 7, ask of me and I will give to you. So in Psalm chapter 2, the father tells the son, ask of me. All right, now go to Matthew chapter 7. Go to Matthew chapter 7. And you know, Lehman, you and I prayed on the phone Saturday. And I know how you've been praying. And I know what my prayer is. My prayer is my father gets his desire. And my dad's desire is to be able to live in his home till Jesus calls him home. And I know that's his desire. And that is my prayer. He loves his independence as best he has it. He talks to my mom every day in there. And my neighbor said, Leo, he feels like if he leaves here, he's leaving Miss Beverly, who is my mama. And I understand that. And so that's my prayer. And if it's 5 years from now or if it's next week, that you got to learn how to pray. That God in his mercy. Because I'll be honest with you, Lehman, you talked about Pat, and bless her heart, she didn't have to suffer. She's going home to be with Jesus. I think about Neil Daniel. He came to my house to bring me money to take to Lehman when Margie was in the accident at Vanderbilt. He left us vegetables. He went up to Collinwood, walked a couple of miles around the track. He went home and ate supper, and I get a call that night. He's being rushed to the hospital. He went home to be with Jesus with a heart attack. And everybody said, oh my goodness, that's a terrible thing. You know, he was fishing and doing his garden and bam, he's gone to heaven. Well, let me tell you something. I praise God.
Amen.
I one thing I've asked the good Lord, Lord, I'd like to die while I'm living. Now, we don't always get that choice. You know how I've stood at funeral homes, folks have said, you know, so-and-so, they've really been suffering. They've had a rough time. You know, they've had a last year, 2 years. You know, they're a whole lot better off now. Well, I want to tell you something, my friend. If I was the most physically fit, strongest human being on the face of the earth with 500% health, and I were to die, I want you to know the moment I open my eyes in heaven, I'm a whole lot better off then. Even if you're the most healthy person in the world, when you get to heaven, you're going to be better off.
Amen.
I praise God for when we get there if we've been suffering, but I'm going to praise God when we get there when we ain't been suffering. Because, man, the deal is we just want to get there, man. Oh, my. I'm going to get back in the outline because I'm probably still tired here. Psalm chapter 2, the father says, ask. Now look what the son says in Matthew 7, verse 7. The Lord says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds. And to him that knocks it shall be opened. The father tells the son to ask in Psalm 2. The son is telling us to ask in Matthew chapter 7. But the condition of us asking, God hearing, and then God doing, Jesus isn't just teaching us that as a lesson. Jesus is telling us, I lived this by experience when I was on earth. So he set the example for us. And that's why he prayed out loud, so that we would know he was praying. It's like I told you a few weeks ago, you know, if Jesus prayed all night, I must need to pray all week. You know, if Jesus didn't want to face the day without putting on the spiritual armor of God, who am I? And my friend, I'm telling you, in this time where we hear all these things on the news and we see all these things going on in our country and all these things with our pandemic and all these politicians and all of these things, I love the voice of God. I love that stillness. And I love that clarity. And if you're listening on this website and you don't know what I'm talking about, man, email us. Tim gets it to us. He gets it to Patty, and we'll respond to you. I could not make it without the be still and know that I am God moments in my prayer closet. And that's what America needs. That's what the church needs. And that's what individuals need today. But if you ask, I will do, and he reiterates this throughout his ministry. And he prays it for our sakes, for those that were there and for listening, and for us. Now, go with me to Matthew chapter 26. And this is what we've been talking about. In Hebrews 5:7, we're told of his prayers, his pleadings, his strong crying, his fears, his supplications. And I just want to say again, what he prayed in Gethsemane and what he prayed on the cross was the most intense, personal, and real prayers ever spoken on the face of the earth. And they were the purest and the godliest prayers ever spoken on the face of the earth. And they've been given to us as examples to pray by and to live by. So in Matthew 26, verse 39, the scripture says, he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He makes two requests. And this is a standard of prayer. The first request he makes is simple, it's direct, it's honest, and it's the burden that he is feeling at that moment. So when you go in the closet, you want to be simple, you want to be direct, you want to be honest, and you want to share your burden. You know, Mona, however your heart feels as you're going Thursday, you give it to your Savior. I know He hears you. And in His honesty, He says, if there's any way this cup can pass from me, if there's any other way to save mankind, show me the way. Now, He prays this three times. And we are told in the gospel that each time the intensity and the depth grows to the point that the capillaries break and the blood and the sweat mingle and fall to the ground. So your goal in the prayer closet is a deeper intensity that's going to result in a more focused clarity. Your goal in the prayer closet is a deeper intensity that's going to result in a more focused clarity. Let me tell you, I'm praying a whole lot better when I leave the closet than when I go in. You say, Brother Leo, I can't even pray without my mind wandering. This is a discipline. This is like lifting weights. This is like running. It's like anything else. You develop the depth and strength of your prayer. Thought they were coming for me. Listening on the website, we had a fellow at a stop sign in front of our building. Now, he only makes two requests, or shares two statements. The first one, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." The second one is, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will be done." So, all right, hold on to that thought. Hold on to that thought and go to Hebrews chapter 5 again. Go back to Hebrews chapter 5. "Not my will, but your will be done. Oh, Father, if there's any other way that I don't have to go through this physical and spiritual and emotional darkness and suffering, if there's any other way." But notice what it says in Hebrews 5 verse 7. "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, asking the Father, yet learned he obedience and submission by the things which he suffered." My friend, I want you to understand something. At Lehman, as he went into that prayer closet, in his humanity, he came out with a stronger commitment or sense, if that's possible, because Jesus was perfect. But the example he's setting for us is that as I go into the prayer closet, I need to come out with a stronger sense of the will of God for my life. I need to come out of that prayer closet with my questions, but God's answers. Not my answers. Because people say all the time, you know, God doesn't answer my prayers. God never answers my prayers. My friend, the goal is not to get your answers for your prayers. The goal is to get God's answers for your prayers. You need to ask with an honest heart, however you want to ask, but you need to linger and you need to develop it over weeks and months, where for a specific situation, you're coming out of that prayer closet eventually changed, where what you thought was the answer you needed, now you know what God's answer is or what God's direction is. So if you'll go in there with godly reverence, submission, you'll come out with obedience where your will gets meshed into the will of God. And I've seen that happen so many times in my life with major decisions that I've needed to make. I mean, I came here years ago knowing I'd never move here. Yeah, I'm serious. You know, knowing I'd never move here in my mind. And the original plan was to help get this church started. And then I was going to Charleston to start a church. So 25 years later, we're still trying to get this thing started. And now I'm at a place where this is home. Well, God knew this was going to be home. And He knew what I needed in my life to have peace. And for me to have peace, I need a quieter lifestyle than what exists in my home now. The young man that's doing the work on my dad's house, I graduated high school in 78. He graduated in 83. A different high school. And he told me before he left, he said, "Charleston's nothing like it was when we grew up." Because I was telling him, you know, man, I don't see how you people fight all this traffic and noise and confusion. And he goes, "Yeah, man." He said, "It's nothing like it was, you know, when we grew up." But, you know, God knows. Even when I don't know, God knows. Even when you don't know, God knows. But let me tell you something. He will let you know. But you find out in the conversations. As you pour your heart out to God. You know, look at what it, verse 8. Though he were a son, yet he learned. Now, that word learn is manthano. M-A-N-T-H-A-N-O. M-A-N-T-H-A-N-O. That's verse 8, Hebrews 5. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. That word would have been better translated. It really means to learn by experience. You know, you can learn a lot of stuff out of a book. You know, you can even learn how to do surgery out of a book. But you're going to learn a whole lot more if you're doing surgery on somebody. So it actually means to learn by experience. So it could have been translated that though he were a son, yet he experienced obedience by the things that he went through. The things that we go through, God's trying to mold us in humility and obedience, and we get that spirit or that mindset of submission and obedience in the prayer closet. Where the Spirit of God, we allow the Spirit of God to manifest himself and to grow and to get influence over our hearts and our minds. And so the Lord has given us this spiritual practice or discipline that we call prayer, that Jesus called his prayer closet, and he has set the example for us. I'm just going to tell you, he spent a whole lot more time alone with God than he did in the synagogue. He spent a whole lot more time alone with God the Father than he did at the temple. But see, the religious leaders of the time, they spent no real time alone with God, and their whole deal was either in the synagogue or in the temple. And that's the way it is today. Go back. I want to close with Matthew 26. And I'm going to give you one word, one little statement God gave me this morning. In Matthew 26, verse 42. Jesus went again and prayed, and he said, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done." And in verse 46, he says, "Rise, let us be going." You know what our goal needs to be? We need to have a goal that we're going to walk out of our prayer closet tomorrow the same way Jesus walked out of Gethsemane. You want to walk out of your prayer closet tomorrow with the victory. The victory over whatever it is that's burdening you, and the victory of saying, "Lord, this thing's in your hands, and your will be done. Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden and labor, and I'll give you rest." And I said that prayer this morning. I said, "Lord, teach me how to pray. And teach me to the point where I can walk out of my prayer closet the way you walked out of Gethsemane." And my friend, if we can learn that, boy, it's going to make life a whole lot better. We'll be a whole lot stronger in the Lord. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Martha Jo, I'm going to ask you to play for a few moments. And while she is playing this morning, I don't know what burdens you have or things that you may be dealing with, but I'm going to ask you to say a few honest prayers unto Jesus right now about something that you may be dealing with in your own life. In light of what we've just looked at, and how the Lord prayed in Gethsemane. And just take a few moments and say, "Lord, I'm coming to you right now with this, and in the quietness of this moment, you can have a deep, one-on-one, personal, intimate conversation with your Jesus. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's take a few moments and share a burden, share a thought, share your heart with God. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the peace. We thank you, Father, for the harmony of our spirit when it is one with yours. We thank you, Lord, for the refreshment of getting alone with you and feeling your touch. The impressions that you'll put on our hearts and our minds to give us peace. We praise you, Lord Jesus, that you hear our prayers and that you tell us, ask me. Ask me. I want to thank you, Lord, I can ask you for everything. Can ask you, Lord, to watch over my daddy. And I can ask you to take care of my little kitty cat. Father, I praise your name. That we can pray for people we know. And we can pray for people we don't know. And Father, I want to thank you that you've got a plan. And that you carried the greatest, greatest, greatest burden ever into your prayer closet. And so you want us to bring our burdens to you. Thank you, Lord, for the answers that are coming in the days ahead for the folks in this room. Thank you for your movements upon their lives and the lives of their loved ones. Thank you for the doors that you open and the ones that you close. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for the peace and being still and the strength to move forward. And it all comes from you. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, I'll be up here if anybody needs to speak to me, but God bless you. And put on your sunscreen today.
Father, I just pray right now for Mona.